No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock. We give the people their right to vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Today we have a special show. We pre-recorded it due to some conflicts that we've had in our schedule, but we're excited. So you can't call in today, I'm sorry, but we're excited to have Kathleen Gomez, that sage from Arizona, former co-host, beauty queen, and all-around know-it-all on the show today to finish the discussion that we started a couple weeks ago. Those of you who listen to the show regularly know that Kathleen was the longtime co-host for the show, and she's been sorely missed. She's been getting fan mail and all sorts of stuff, so we're just happy to have her back. Are you there, Kathleen?
Yes, I am. I can't believe it. You actually sound like you once appreciated me. I mean, I'm just taken aback. It's just such a great way to start a new year. Is this you? Is this Senator Brown, or have the zombies taken over?
No. This is just like my children when they come home from college. You know, I like miss them, then they come back, and I'm ready to get rid of them, and then they're gone, right, and I miss them again. So you're gone, and I miss you.
All right, got it.
Nick and Trisha, as long as you're gone, I'll miss you. It's when you're here that I have a problem. But
before we go on,
let me just say a couple of quick things about statehood, since this is what we're about. No new signers on the New Columbia Admission Act. We're now at 147, 128 in the House, 19 in the Senate, but on Tuesday of this week, the President of the United States will give his State of the Union address. And what we're asking people to do is call into the White House at 202-456-1111 or go to whitehouse.gov and ask the President to support D.C. statehood. Support D.C. statehood. Support the New Columbia Admissions Act. He'll know exactly what that is. We've written to him about it. He said that he supports it. And if he could say something in the State of the Union address, that would be great. That would make a big difference and add to the momentum. And Kathleen and I have some surprises coming. We have a new website that's about to come out and some other stuff that we'll be telling you about, that I'll be telling you about in the upcoming weeks. But for right now, you can strike a blow for D.C. statehood by calling 202-456-1111 or going to whitehouse.gov and saying, please support the New Columbia Admission Act. So now that we've got that
petition, though, is there any kind of petition, or you just White House?
They have a form. If you go, if you call the comment line, you can say whatever you want. And, you know, and I think they record it. But if you email them and you go to the email address I gave you, a form pops up. And it says, who are you? And, you know, and that gives you, you can write anything you want in a comment section. So you're able to do that.
Okay.
So we're glad to have you back on the show.
Thank you. I am no longer in Arizona.
No longer in Arizona.
No, I clicked my red ruby shoes and I'm in Kansas where it's 5 degrees. And they were all complaining. We were all complaining in Arizona that it was like 60, 55 and overcast. And today it was 5 degrees.
5 degrees.
So, you know,
We're about in the 60s here, I think.
Well, I hope this weather comes over to you because that's ridiculous for it to be 60 in D.C. And then, you know, actually it was very cold in Arizona. It snowed in Douglas, by the way, 2 days ago.
And if you don't know, Douglas is a border town. Right. So it's not even like it's in northern Arizona.
That's right.
It's as south as you can get in Arizona.
That's right. And it was snowing there, so that's something that's definitely, you know, El Nino is definitely doing his job.
El Nino. Believe those Republicans. El Nino. It's El no sense in Congress. No, there's no such thing as global warming. They're going to wait until they walk out of the Rayburn building one day and there's a bunch of polar bears sitting on the front lawn. Then maybe they'll believe in global warming.
Exactly.
So that's a great place to start. Now, the president, we've got all this crazy weather going on all over the place, and he's been criticized for this stuff that he did in Europe on the climate change thing. Don't you think that's crazy?
I think what's crazy is that we're still the biggest emitters of pollution. Isn't that what came out of that thing? Out of that conference. And during that conference, things were so bad in China that people couldn't leave because of the pollution being so thick that they couldn't even with their masks, because that's what they all wear now, could they actually, you know, get their piece covered. And what really came out of that policy, wasn't it, was that, countries should abide by trying not to pollute unless they're developing countries. And therefore, being clean should not interfere with them being able to become economically stable and make more money. I that's what I believe I've been reading. And that is so what do you do? I mean, you can always say, well, I got to pollute because I can, in the economy, we need to make money. And unfortunately, that comes over having a clean planet. So I don't know how you do anything with that kind of frame line.
Well, you know, I think that is a problem. I think that if you're going to do that, then you have to set particular standards for what defines that, because you're right, you know, we're all here. I am thinking about winning the Powerball lottery, which is $1.3 billion, and I've already spent all the money. I mean, if it comes, I'm only gonna have it for about 2 days, because I know what I'm gonna do with every dime of it. So obviously, you know, you always, it's not like anybody says, you know what, I don't need any more money, I don't need to, or any country says, I don't need to develop anymore, I'm developed enough.
Right,
so you're
right.
They're never going to, you know, it's not going to be a voluntary thing. They're going to have to make it mandatory, and they're going to have to set a standard to what developing actually means. And, you know, and it's hard for us to take the lead on that because, as you say, we're not only the currently the world's biggest polluters, we've probably been the world's biggest polluters for the last 75 years.
I know. It's just strange. You know, I guess we're such a big landmass that, you know, when I look outside, I don't see pollution. But when you think of it, it's the pollution of the waters and pollution. I went to the trash area for this complex that I'm in Kansas City, and I couldn't believe the trash piled up. You know, that's just a day's trash from basically normal people. And I, of course, contributed to that, plus my trash from my car. And I just thought, God, what we do in one day. And everyone at least produces that. It's really a rather scary thing. But not to diverge, because, you know, there are some things that have been bothering me, and I can't just wait to talk about it. And one of this is going to kind of start in one way, and it's going to lead to another thing. You know, the ERA, right, has never passed the United States.
I know that.
Women under the Constitution right now today are not protected. Would you say that gays are more protected than maybe women under the Constitution?
I guess they are. I mean, I've never looked at it that way, but I guess they are. You know, there's assumption, and that's the serious problem with women's rights and particularly the ERA, I think, is there's this assumption that women are treated equally or protected equally.
And we know one thing, right? In the United States, it's all about the law, correct? Unless there is a law that protects you, you are not protected. Even though everyone says to me, well, you know, what are you talking about? You're equal. You know, oh, yeah, I mean, you guys get it. You're equal. My male cousins told me, my female cousins told me, my son told me this. But if there's one thing I know, when it comes down to it, when you're, as a person or a citizen, is having issues, if it's not in the law, you're not protected. So this leads into my next issue. Did you hear about all the attacks on women in Cologne and I think it was Hamburg? if I'm saying it right. Did you hear about that over the New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I heard briefly about it, yeah.
Okay, now this is...
Gangs of roving people.
And, 1,000 men in gangs of 30. And I have, if you go and Google it, you will find German BBC reports on it, New York Times reports on it, National Review, because actually I was given this post by my son, and I posted it, and I got a lot of feedback like, oh, come on, the Muslims aren't that bad, this is awful, you know, you guys are just promulgating, are you sure this happened? So I went and I did research, and I went and I didn't just like National Review, okay, that's conservative, I figured that, of course, maybe there was, you know, certain agendas and spins, but BBC, New York Times, and a bunch of German stations all reported the same thing. That, you know, New Year's Eve, they have a huge celebration, and there were threats of bombs, so nobody went out. There's also celebration kind of right after it, maybe it's the next day, I guess, New Year's Day, where everyone did go out, and people went out, it was a revelry, it's like New Year's Eve party, you know, you get decked out, the women wear high heels, makeup, maybe you dress in a night, you know, not like an evening dress, and you go out, or whatever it is. Well, they wore appearance of Arab and North Africans who went around in gangs of 30, circled women, and accosted them. I mean, you know, putting fingers in every orifice. One or two were raped. They then stole their bags. And one father testified, he was with his daughters, and this huge, large crowd came. There was nothing he could do to protect his daughters from being sexually touched in places where they shouldn't have been roughed up and accosted. Now, you know, for a couple of days, you didn't hear about it. And now all of a sudden, through things like social media, not necessarily, you know, the traditional news media, these stories are coming out. The feedback from that is that these immigrants coming in need to be taught about our culture. In fact, let me quote...
Wait a second, this happened in Germany. What the hell does this have to do with
because
us?
Because this is what's going to come to the United States. And if we as women do not have the ERA, we are not going to be protected by the law. This is what happens. I'm serious. You're going to sit here and tell me that I'm crazy. But as this occurs, it's going to happen over here too. And I think women need to get their heads out of the sand because... it's not just a religion, it's a culture. And men do not feel that women are equal. They are very, and I'm telling you this because when I was a year and a half ago at Christmas time, actually a year ago, staying with my son, whose apartment is behind the mosque, okay, there in Tucson, I had several incidents with young men who would not get out of my way. I was driving through the alley to go to the garage to park. They're right next to each other. These four guys are walking. So I'm waiting patiently, and they just won't move. So I go out the window. I said, excuse me, I need to go. Ignored me. I finally said, hey, you need to get out of the road. And they looked at me like, who the hell are you to talk to us? I am telling you that this is an issue that I think, and I'm not saying, I, of course, because I'd be politically incorrect. I am not saying these people are terrible, but I'm saying that's part of the culture. And there's a large, this, I see it happening in a year. I swear to God, you're going to come back and you're going to tell me I'm right. And everyone's reacting like I'm crazy. But this is an issue that we need to be aware of. And U.S. and the women need to be smart enough, and we need to pass the ERA. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm not against passing the ERA. But I guarantee you that if you checked on sexual assaults in America, you'd find out that there are a hell of a lot more Christians and nice white guys committing sexual assaults than there are Muslims.
They don't tend to do it in groups of 30. And that is going to happen over here. We need to be aware. Yes, it happens all the time. But now it's going to even – this is an instance where this is accepted in a culture that's coming over here. And even in Germany, okay, let me just say one thing, right? We will, and they're gonna have a huge carnival in February, because then what comes up? Lent, right? And what is it that you do before Lent happens, if you're a Catholic or Christian? All hell breaks loose, right? Down in New Orleans, girls lift their tops up, right? And expose themselves.
There you go.
In a culture that sees that as totally unacceptable to the point where you should kill people about it, how are you going to integrate that culture into our Western thinking?
Well, we've done it. I mean, we have lots of Muslims in this country. This is all a hysterical stuff.
I don't understand
the hell this has to do with your religion.
It's being aware. It's being aware of what things are could happen, are happening in the world. Places like Germany, we're not talking about Syria. We're not talking about Pakistan. We're talking about Germany. You know, a place of law and order where women have a certain aspect to be treated in a certain way. And with a lot of these immigrants coming in and their problem with immigrants from Syria, okay, let's not say it's Muslim. It's a culture of thinking how men think about women, where they can kill their daughters or their sisters because they do something as have an education. This is something that is not so far away from hitting our shores here. And I just say, we better wake up and we better pass the ERA, because then if we don't, we will have no protection when it comes down to it. And I'm sorry if you think I'm hysterical, but I'm just seeing it. I see it in a lot of different ways. So that's my problem.
What I think you are is I think you're forgetful, because I don't think you remember the festival in Central Park. You remember Central
Puerto
Park?
Yes, I was right there.
It wasn't Muslims.
But there weren't groups of them. There weren't more than one. It was one small group where it happened. And there you could see there was an aspect and people came in and helped. But this was so large that the police couldn't deal with it, because there were so many of those things going on at one time all throughout the city. So, yeah, the Puerto Ricans, yes, they were terrible. It did happen to a group of them. Yes. But I see it as something that's very cultural.
This is a problem with men. This is a problem of the way
men... And you're having a culture that blames it on the women anyway, but even more so than what most men do. That's why I'm saying we got to pass the ERA, because if we don't, we're going to be screwed as women.
I think that what you have to protect you is the law. I agree with that. I believe that if there are not laws in place, that you won't be protected. But there are plenty of laws to protect you from sexual assault. Look, we're trying an American icon right now in Bill Cosby for doing exactly that, for assaulting women, for drugging them.
But look at how much not having that ERA, how these women had to go for so many years, unable to talk about their story because of what the news media wouldn't print, what people would say about them. I'm just saying we need to definitely...
Well, I got to tell you, you have thrown me for a loop here, because I thought you were coming in as Donald Trump, and now I find out you're Gloria Allwright.
Exactly.
The woman that's always, prosecuting every man she can get her hands on.
Absolutely. I'm just saying women need to really freaking wake up, because we're coming so close to, I mean, we're 2015 and we don't have, I think everyone else is protected by the Constitution but ourselves. And you know, it's, I think it, doesn't it have to be reintroduced soon, or isn't it going to expire?
No, it expires and then they keep on reintroducing it every session. So it keeps on getting extended. But you're wrong. Not everybody's protected by the Constitution. Take it from somebody that lives in Washington, D.C. We're abused by the Constitution. But you're protected. You're a man.
It doesn't have anything to do with where you live. You're a man, so you will always be protected no matter what.
Well, it's true that men have... Look, I've never, ever heard a man say...
Wants to be a woman.
I'm really disadvantaged by being a man. I wish I had all those advantages that women had. I've never heard that.
Although there are some men that wish to be
women. And only lately have I heard men saying, I want to be a woman.
Weird things are. See, that's how strange things become, because now that is something that's just kind of acceptable. Men, you know, women become men become women. But, you know, and when we were growing up, I wouldn't have even imagined that would be something that was just, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know. I mean, I guess it's great for those who need to be, but... Now, I don't know. It's getting crazier and crazier. So the other issue I wanted to know, and I was going to go right into talking about this. Okay, as we are opening our arms to more and more cultures that we always have, I'm curious. I was trying to find out what kind of assimilation is given to people who want to become citizenships. Now, that's a big issue because the people who actually do it the legal way are so few. And I mean, there is those, but wouldn't you say that our immigration problem is mostly due to the illegals? And you have such a large portion.
Really screwed up. I think we have a really screwed up, complicated system that doesn't work for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people ignore it as well. I think that there's two problems with it. One is it needs to be simpler and it needs to work better. And the other is that it needs to be enforced. And neither one of those things is getting done, I don't think.
So how do we teach people who come to this country, presumably they're coming here for opportunity, right? Economic opportunity to be able to say what they feel, the freedom of religion, to a point, I think, where it's your religion. It's not like also we have a freedom not to have other people's religion imposed on us, correct? Right? Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So how do we make sure people who have grown up in a system where women are not treated equally and not viewed as they can have an education, they can actually, I mean, theoretically, you can go out and, you know, pretty much dress the way you want unless it disturbs it. If you're naked, they can arrest you for indecent exposure, but it's not something you can get killed for. Maybe you might go to jail for a night, but it's not, I mean, it's still a sense of freedom of expression. So
we have a problem.
You don't think so? You don't think people are coming over here?
Because I think the people, many of those people are repressed, first of all, that in their country. I mean, you and I have both been to, what was that place, Sign of the Whale the other place across the street, the Singles Bar in D.C.
Where you
went to American University where you had a lot of Arab men. You never had an Arab man walk up to you and say, hey, I wish you'd cover up.
Oh, no. Maybe I didn't have that. What I had were Arab men come over up to me and say, hey, do you have girlfriends, you know, with you and girlfriends like to come in and, you know, have sex with us? Because we were American, so they assumed we were all loose. And we were all, you know, basically, you know, of that, you know, the letter starts with a P. And that's how I remember a lot of them.
Well, but that just proves my point, that it's really not a hardcore belief as much as it is a system that represses women. I mean, you know.
It's a system that represses women and assumes that they are of a second-class citizen and are not to be treated at all equal in things like getting an education or driving, or and that their look is so distracting to men that they have to cover up because men cannot be responsible for their actions. Because of based on what a woman wears. That's why you just put a sheet over. And I mean, okay, I understand covering. I think that's great. But I just don't want to be in a situation where then I'm going to be down the road expected to do it. And I think there are places that is happening.
Oh, not in America.
Oh, that's what everyone says. Not in America. Next time I'm on, I will research and I'm going to give you towns. I'm going to give you examples. And I'm just saying... I guess people
that do the same thing. Again, it's not about the Muslims. It's there's Christians that do the same thing. There's these guys that have six wives in Utah. How is that treating women equally? How long has it been, Kathleen, since if you were raped and you were wearing a miniskirt, that you wouldn't have had somebody say, well, what are you doing dressed like that?
Well,
right?
It does, and it still is. But I'm not getting accosted. This is a different thing where they feel it's okay to do it, and it's just accepted. So I think down here, people, when this happens, when you rape, yes, there's a chance of being caught. Everyone knows it's not right, and there's a circumstance. But when you have groups doing it, what my question is, why is the media not sharing this information? Why isn't it out there so people can discuss it so that my fears might be assuaged because I understand now, we've got something implemented in the system to make sure that people who come over here are acceptable, that want to live the way we are living in the United States, the way that we have the freedoms that we do, and want to embrace that as part of what they do in their everyday life. I'm just saying... I just think that that's something that's important when you have, we're no longer what we used to be. where we can just accept anyone, all the poor, all the troubled, all the underprivileged, unless they want to really be here. A lot of times, a lot of people were coming over here because they were being forced out of their country, and they didn't really want to come to the United States. Well, so I'm just saying, I want to see something. I think in this whole issue, people have to start to talk about all the things they're concerned about. And I think this is something. How are we assimilating people into our culture? You know, when you look at the mosque, how do we deal with mosques who may be an area where these people meet who are planning to hurt us? You know, the whole thing of the woman, remember, who invited, she had a contest of people who were drawing things against Allah. Okay, yeah. We know who were two of the people that went that were killed or were going to shoot up the place. I don't remember all the details. They were from the Tucson Mosque. So I'm just saying, you know, how is there a commitment to make sure that people want to be Americans? Shouldn't that be some kind of litmus test, and that they want to embrace the culture we have when they come from such a repressed area?
Well, there is a litmus test.
And what is that?
If you go for citizenship, you have to actually take the test.
If you do it the legal way, but so many aren't. And then when they come over as refugees.
So what do we do about that? What are you saying, Donald Trump? Do we build a fence? Do we build a wall?
No, we vet people more. We might have to put more money into how we vet people and how we make sure that this is where they want to be and that they're who they say they are.
Well, I'm not against that.
But that takes time. That takes time. You can't just open the doors right away. It takes time to vet people. And you have to keep track of them, so you have to have papers. Everyone needs to have papers, Eric, and the big bad thing, you know, that I should be able to ID myself as a citizen of the United States.
You're a mother. Last time that you were on the show, you were talking about all these thousands of children that have been left at the American border. Now, you're saying that these aren't people that want to be here? Look, think of how desperate you have to be to
You know what they want to be here for? Economics. They're here for economics. Honduras has got the poorest, they're starving over there. Yes, I understand that, but a lot of the ones I used to know in New York didn't want to be in the United States. They did it because they could make money, but they didn't like the culture. They sent all their money back to their countries, and then they left, which is fine. Get a working visa, but those children are coming here because there are their relatives living here. And then we have to take care of them. At a point when I said last time was where our own children aren't being taken care of. I believe in helping all the rest of the world as long as our people have food and have shelter. And then, yes, we make them stronger, and then we can provide for everyone else. But you got to take care of your own to be strong. Can't take care of everyone else on the outside. The core has to be strong, and it has to be of people who believe that this is the way they want to live, and we have to protect our own too. I'm just saying.
That's all double talk for Donald Trump and his racist ideas.
Oh, my God. You need to get out of D.C. Charity. When was the last time you were out of D.C.?
So what do you say? Charity begins at home?
I'm telling you, I'm asking you a question. As a D.C. politician, when was the last time you they don't pay you, so you can't do a fact-finding thing. You need to come out of D.C. because I think what's happening is you're getting caught up by that whole mentality of D.C., like, you guys know what's going on, and you guys never come out of that, like, little bubble over there. You got to come out.
I can't come out of D.C. I don't have a gun, and you people hate everybody. I'm afraid to come out of D.C. Come on. Y'all want guns and you hate Muslims and holy moly. Why do I want to leave?
Let me tell you, as a woman, I'm going to get my guns. I'm going to get my little mountain. I'm going to be Juanita Oakley, and I'm going to sit there on top of my mountain. And you better not come across there, because I am just tired of all this stuff. I'm tired of having to hear this, you know. You know, in the United States, I just want to make sure that things stay the way they're supposed to stay. You come over here legally, you want to be a freaking American, and you want this way of life. Yes, and women are going to be equal here, and they're going to wear what they want to wear, you're going to be able to say what they want to say, and not be worried about someone telling me. I mean, I had heard it, I couldn't prove it, but, you know, through the social bubble, media bubble, that a lot of the officials in Germany were saying, well, women need to start worrying, maybe being a little bit more, covering up a little bit more when they go out, because of the circumstances of having a culture that, you know, doesn't, it will sit there and think it's okay to kill you over the way you're dressed.
Well, Americans say that too. I mean, they you know, that was used.
Yeah, but they don't go out and they don't, you know, accost women about it. Yes, there is rape and all that. I'm not saying that there's not. I'm saying that this is.
Well, and a lot of rape victims.
This immigrant issue is happening. We're supposed to be taking more people from an area that has no belief system in the way we believe. And I'm just wondering how to assimilate over here.
But what I hear you saying, Donald Trump, is that Mexicans are rapists and you're not saying Mexican, you're saying Muslims. That's the only difference.
This is the liberal version of putting things in my mouth. This is like my son was saying that it's about liberals, and it's kind of true. You know, and we had a discussion about how you have to either be a conservative or a liberal, and a liberal will never always plays the victim. Like they always support people who are victims. Oh, the poor this. Oh, the poor them. Oh, you can't do that. Well, you know, at some point you have to kind of open your eyes, and we have to be more liberals and conservatives have to start worrying about saying that kind of dogma. And if they go out of the dogma, outside of the box, ooh, then they're not a liberal. I mean, you sound like such like. You know, where it's like, oh, I'm such a racist because I say something like this. No, these are my fears. It has nothing to be a racist, and I'm not prejudiced. I think all women of all color and all backgrounds need to be protected in the United States. And I think
think that
these are issues we can be dealing with, and I don't think they're far-fetched. I swear to God, what day is today? Today is January 10th, and at our show, we're going to talk about this issue a year from now and see what happens.
All right. We'll talk about it.
I'm writing it down, man. I'm writing it down so we can look and see if I was totally a fool or maybe if I had some merit in what I was talking about.
All right. I want you to write that down. I'm not even
sure. I did write it down, and now you can cite it, man.
I'm not sure I write that down, but I have a feeling that a year from now you're going to be saying, I never said all that. So,
all right. You got it. And
the BBS radio, make sure they keep this tape because we're going to replay it on January 10th of next year.
Yes, we are. And I just like people to go out there because don't take my word for it. Do some research. Go out there, Google it, Bing it, Yahoo it, whatever you need to do, YouTube it, you know, all that stuff to see and make your own opinion and be aware of what's happening. And if you think I'm crazy and I'm being, you know, conspiratorial, whatever, that's great. But at least you'll be educated and know that what you say has merit. Because I've been doing my research and that's it. That's what I have.
We're going to take a short break here and play a song that Kathleen's picked. So that Kathleen has time to clean her gun, and we have time to dump a bucket of cold water on her and cool her off a little bit. So we'll be back in a few minutes. This is a classic, and remember, Kathleen picked this song.
Power to the women, ERA. Power.
Gotta get down to Electric Avenue. But when you get down there, make sure you're dressed appropriately and you have a copy of the ERA in your hand.
Don't show any cleavage.
ERA in one hand and your can of mace in the other.
Yes. Yeah. And probably, you know, a machete wouldn't be bad.
Well.
Just can't carry a gun, carry a knife.
You can't carry a gun, carry a knife. That's a lovely slogan. Maybe that you could suggest that to the junior league.
There we go.
But yeah, I mean, we could go on. That would be a topic to talk about guns these days. But
I know.
You know, the president just did an executive order, and there's all these people. I love the gun lobby because they stand up there and they say, he's subverting the will of the people by going around Congress. And then, when it's convenient, they call Congress a bunch of idiots. Mm-hmm. You know, they want it every way they can get it. And, And I just think it's crazy. I think most gun owners want background checks, and we know that for a fact, and they want good gun laws. But I will say I was surprised. I was surprised at the people that confronted him in a town hall meeting. One of them was Kyle, the wife of the man that they made the American Sniper movie.
We can imagine about. She's pro-gun. You can imagine.
She is pro-gun. And that surprised me, given the way her husband died, you know, at the hands now, of course, they were involved in legal. I mean, it wouldn't be any gun laws that would have protected him, I guess, because they were on a firing range and they were doing everything legally. And there's nothing wrong with those firing ranges and gun clubs.
But didn't he have PTSD. Problems?
And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep the guns out of the hands of those people. Now, there was another woman that confronted him, and she had been raped in her early 20s. And I understand why she wants a gun. You know, I understand that people feel that guns empower them. And to a certain extent, they certainly do. They do give you some control, and they do give you, and they can be empowering. But they're so dangerous that I think we need to step up to the plate and realize some things. I mean, much as we have to realize the Second Amendment is part of our way of life in the Constitution, we also have to realize that the more guns we put out, the more people die, and that's just a statistic that's true.
At the same time, we have to realize that the guns are already out. It's not like there's a limited edition and there's only 1,000 in the United States.
That's true.
There are so many guns, right, that there's no way that you can take guns away from the citizens because they're right. If law-abiding citizens did that, then all the bad guys would have the guns. But I think they should be at least registered so that when you kill somebody with that gun, you can at least figure out where it goes to. You know, you can trace it. That's how they solve murder. So I don't understand why law-abiding citizens are so against registering their guns. It's like registering their vehicles. I mean, but oh my God, the way that the spin has been made, you would think that was the most terrible thing. And I think people should have a mental check. And if you're violent, and if you have got, ever once had one of those warrants out because, you know, you
protective order.
Right. You beat up your wife and kids, you shouldn't have a gun. Right. And anybody who says that a man who does that, beats up his wife and children, has the right to have a gun, well, you know, let's put them in the house. Why don't they marry that guy? You know, I mean, that just doesn't make sense, and I don't understand why common sense people can't just see how it merits at least to have a background check. And then if you commit, if it's registered, and then say you went crazy, you know, living fine with your wife, and then you get divorced and you get angry at her, and you have a stay of protection, then they should come and say, okay, we'd like to have your gun until this is fixed, and we want your gun back. So how would you be able to do that if you weren't registered?
Just to be equal here, let's not forget, we don't want Mrs. Brown to have a gun either.
That's true. Because
it would be, then it would be shadow politics with Kathleen.
Neither Kathleen, I've already said I shouldn't own a gun. I've already said it and admitted that I should not own a gun
because I would have committed a lot
of murders.
I would say that should be part of the next gun law.
That should be. Specified. Do not let Kathleen Gomez.
But that's absolutely it. And I hate this rhetoric where they say, you know, if good people have guns, there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody will ever get killed. If you take them away from the good people, only the bad people will have them. Well, you could say the same thing with cars. If everybody was safe with the way they drove a car, nobody would ever get hurt, and there would never be any accidents. But you know what? You got to protect yourself against the inevitable, and we do that with cars. We register them, we insure them, and you have to show proficiency in using them. And I don't think that's – you know, I don't want anybody having a gun that doesn't know how to use it. And I think a lot of Americans, and I think this is part of the problem, a lot of Americans do know how to use guns. I mean, that they were raised. I was raised in this culture. As a young man, I was shown how to use a gun by the older men in my family. So I do know a little bit, but unfortunately, I only know a little bit. But I do know a little bit about handling a shotgun and the kind of weapons you would, or the kind of guns you would use for hunting. You know, and that should be right there. That should be a sign. Weapons and guns are you know, they're synonymous. They are right. Weapons. Right.
They are weapons. I mean, my dad, I mean, we would go shooting. He shot quail and he shot deer, you know, and javelina. But he also showed me, remember he had a sawed off. It was a big shotgun. And it was so big that I couldn't put it up to my shoulder because it would probably, my shoulder would go out. I had to hold it down by my hip. And he always told me, you know, if there's someone outside, just shoot him and then bring him inside. That was kind of how I grew up.
Well, that's lovely.
You know, yeah. Well, that's just good common thing because you could get in trouble if they're like outside trying to get in. So you just shoot them if they're outside and then bring them inside and you're okay.
You know what? We should do a book. You should do a book on the wisdom of Dr. Gomez because he also said that you should dance with them. Always dance with them. You don't have to marry them. Always dance with them, right? So that could be the first one. Always dance with them. But if you have to shoot them, shoot them outside.
Drag them out. That's right. Yeah. It was like all you got to do is dance one dance. That was what it was. My dad had grown up in a – so the audience understands the reason he says this is that he had grown up on the Mexican border where whites and Mexicans didn't mix. And when he was in high school, he said, the long walk across the dance floor to ask a pretty blonde white girl, Anglo girl, to dance, where, of course, she told him she didn't dance with Mexicans. And everybody was watching because that was a big thing. You know, a Mexican kid danced the white girl, and she turned him down, and he had to walk across. Back, you know, that long walk of rejection. And so he always asked me, and then you know this because you used to say to me, how come your dad's with these guys? And he always asked me to promise him that if anybody came up to me and asked me to dance, that all I had to do was dance one dance. I didn't have to marry him, but dance one dance.
Well, so, and you know what? I did. God bless Mike Gomez. Because that's how I met you. If you remember, I walked across the floor and I asked a pretty blonde to dance named Lisa Rowan, who turned to me and said, I don't dance with Mexicans, but my friend Kathleen does.
She said, we'll dance and that's with how anyone. We met. That's what she said.
Yeah, my friend Kathleen
will
dance with you because her father told her she had to. And that's exactly how we met.
That's exactly. She pawned you off to me because she knew I would say, all right, let's go dance one dance. I think I said that to you, too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And who knew? Who knew that 30 years later, I'd be arguing with you on the radio?
Because I can't be on here, too many more Sundays because, of course, I have to go back to working for someone in which I can't say these kinds of things. But, I want to talk about one thing that I had been out in Arizona, you know, and my son goes to U of A, and I was just amazed at the amount of money these presidents are making of universities. There's a guy, Michael Crow from Arizona State, who actually is really, I like what he's doing. He's trying to make the universities more affordable for kids who are from Arizona, who are in a lower income bracket, right? But do you know how much he makes? He now makes $742,500. His base salary is $475,000, but he gets a housing allowance of $50,000. And they voted, this is in 2013, this was a 3-year bonus plan, that if they were to increase freshman retention, research revenue, and degrees, bachelor's degrees awarded, they would get a 3-tier incentive going up to, I think it's about like $275,000. They get a car allowance of $10,000. Oh, and they got their housing, he got his housing allowance voted up to $70,000. And then he gets additional compensation from an ASU foundation of $100,000. His pension is $85,000. 500, retirement is 22. That's just for the U of A. And then if you go down to the president of the University of Arizona, Tucson, She's now making $620,500. I think she just gave herself a 200-some-odd thousand increase because she was able to do those things. They got more revenue for research. They've kept freshmen in, which I'm just kind of shocked because I see the friends, and we talked about this. Diego was very fortunate in getting a job, but there are so many of his classmates. I think he's like 1 out of 10 that have a job right now. I would say 9 of his friends, they have no idea what they're going to do. They have no possibility.
You know, my daughter, Trisha, she graduated with honors, and she waits tables. It's always surprised me. I used to get these things in the mail because, you know, through my 401k, I own stocks in different companies, and you would get these things. Like, my favorite came from Walt Disney one time, where it said that they wanted to increase Michael Eisner, who was the president of Walt Disney. The one of the things on the ballot that you get to vote on is they wanted to increase his compensation from something like $4.6 million to $5.2 million or something, you know. And they said the reason they wanted to do this is because they wanted to give him an incentive to do a good job. And I was just thinking, how does that work? Do they say to him, hey, Michael, you have a meeting at 5:30? And he says, well, you think I'm going to hang around this dump till 5:30 for a measly $3.2 million? Maybe if you were paying me $4 million, I might stay. You know, what gets in? You're going to do the job you're going
to
do. I mean, the president of Arizona University of outright. First of all, it's your responsibility. And second of all, if you've made it high enough to be the president of the University of Arizona, you're not somebody that sits around all day worrying about how much money you make. You're out there doing the job.
She got this, you know, and it was a big to-do about her giving herself this increase. And I think she made a comment, well, but if I give it, you know, my increase would only take care of, like, you know, 30 students, you know, like, so what? You know, and I'm thinking, well, then those 30 students should have gotten the money to go and get educated. Look at this. I mean, her big thing was that she brought up bachelor's degrees. As you see, freshman retention rate went up from 80% to 83%. Okay, 3%. I mean, you just open the doors more. Bachelor's degrees awarded go 6,700 up from 6,351. So what is that, 350 more people? I mean, that's not enough to me to warrant that kind of a increase. But look at this.
Well, and are you making the education, are you making better educated people, or are you lowering the standards? I mean, isn't that the problem with No Child Left Behind? We're really not sure whether we're bringing them all along or whether we're just making it easier for them to pass.
Now look at this. You know, Pennsylvania State University, $2.9 million is what the chief guy makes. And
get
then
out
Auburn,
of here.
Yeah, 2.9. Auburn is 2.5. Ohio State University is 1.8. George Mason University in Virginia is $1.8 million.
Get out of here.
Yes, yes. And then it goes like, oh, then there's Ball State University in Indiana, $984,000. University of Michigan, $918,000. And then it kind of goes down from there. But then the article, I was looking at a lot of stuff. One article said, and then in Arizona, there was going to be a region's vote on giving ASU football coach a raise from $2.5 million to $2.3
million. It's incredible that a college football coach can make as much as a professional coach, because I bet there are people coaching football in the pros that don't make any more money than that.
Now,
I mean, that's a pretty healthy
salary. When is the United States going to wake up, and isn't education, university supposed to be educating a productive society where we grow and we, you know, make the world better, and we, you know, produce citizens who can, you know, I mean, be productive. I just don't understand why universities have real estate, why they pay so much to their sports program. It was funny. I was talking to Diego, and there was something about, he's Mr. Croatia and stuff like that. And he was talking about there's a Serbian guy on the basketball team, and he doesn't speak any English. And I said to him, well, who pays for his trance? You know, his interpreter. He goes, well, he doesn't really go to school. And what do you mean he doesn't go to school? Well, they take PE and coloring and, you know, and stuff like that. But how can you go to university and not speak the language and play for the team? Now, one more thing I'm going to say, because I have to say this has been bugging me. I went to the Royals, right? And the game when they became the World Series champ. And I'd gotten into it, and I, you know, there's like five, there's the basic team. You know, out of those five players and the one guy who was a big pitcher, none of them speak English. They make $20 million. And a lot of people get upset with me when I say this. I mean, you know, baseball is a world game, and it doesn't matter what they talk. And I'm thinking, hey, if you come to the United States and you're playing for what I still think is a all-time American sport, and you're making that kind of money, I think you should be able to say thank you to the people of Kansas or something. They don't speak any English. I think you need to speak something.
First of all, as far as it being an international sport, I don't think that there's any people in, I guess, because you have
the
Toronto Blue Jays.
No,
you have the Toronto Blue Jays. That makes it an international sport. But other than the Toronto Blue Jays, I don't think there is a team, a baseball team that competes for the World Series that's not inside the United States.
Well, I guess the World Series, we should really call it the American Series or something.
Yeah,
it's not
really
the
should.
World Series.
Or at least the North American Series, if you want to include the Blue Jays. But I don't know how I feel about that. I don't feel like
Don't you think if you make that kind of money in a country, you should at least learn their language? It's an American sport, isn't it?
Well, I think in any country, it makes sense if you can do it. I mean, look, I regret that I'm not bilingual, but if I went to a foreign country, yeah, I'd try to, and I was going to make a living there, and I was going to stay there. Yes, I would try to learn the language.
And it's not like they just.
I don't know. It should be mandatory.
For $20 million, the American sport you're representing, you're playing the American baseball, right? Isn't baseball considered the all American sport?
Wasn't it this is nothing new. Wasn't it the Saturday Night Live thing where the guy said, "Baseball has been very, very good to me." Remember that? The routine where Garrett Morris on Saturday Night Live used to go, and no matter what they asked him, all he would retort was, baseball has been very, very good to me.
I respect that because at least he has something in English, at least one sentence in English words. And I think that, at least he's trying. At least he realizes that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I had to bring that into it. But we just have to like somehow wake up and deal with this college loan stuff. And you know, I'm thinking these kids. Like you know, your daughter had a loan. I mean, you helped her a lot. But and why? And we're not even promising them a market in which they can be employed. I think we all should be really ashamed of
that. Well, that's absolutely true. And just let me tell you that we're starting a new thing on Chatter Politics tonight. We're starting a fund for Kathleen Gomez to bring her back to civilization and have her deprogrammed. So please.
No, I'm afraid to go to D.C. You guys are going to pump me with all that jargon, and I'm going
to
end up being like.
The fund to save Kathleen, care of BBS Radio, and we'll try to get her out here. She'll be coming out here. You're coming out here in about a week.
I know. I got to get a ticket.
All right.
So I got to find a ticket.
We're getting everybody lined up, we're getting the people from the ACLU and you know, NOW and, you know, Planned Parenthood. All these people are getting them all lined up for you so that when you come out.
For Planned Parenthood. But one of the things I wanted to also talk about tomorrow is a big day for us because, you know, and I just text our guy to make sure that it's going to happen. Tomorrow is going to be the launch of our core site, right?
Yeah, and you know what, people? We have started this thing called Teach Democracy, which is going great. We're going to launch a website this week. And we haven't even launched the website, and Kathleen may not even know this, but we have 280 Twitter followers. So
that's Teach Democracy One. You can get it.
Yeah. So come and follow us on Twitter at Teach Democracy One, or come like us on Facebook at Teach Democracy, because what we're going to do is we're going to spread the word about DC, and we're going to try to get people involved in the democratic process, because as Kathleen points out in her strange way about the Equal Rights Amendment and other things, we should be involved. You know, when we train candidates, we always tell them, if you're not at the table, you don't get fed. So we really have to increase participation. Even in the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, we only have a third of the registered voters show up to vote on Election Day, and that's pitiful.
And we're going to have to vote on primaries when it comes up, so we're going to have to talk about that.
Yes.
And this is it. We're close to closing.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Kathleen. everybody but the Muslims miss you.
I just have to say what I have to feel. You know what I mean?
I know.
And every day as a woman, I kiss the ground that I'm on here in the United States of America. And I think women got to wake up, and we got to appreciate what we have, because it could be gone like that.
That's true. Yeah. You do have to appreciate what you've got. And so I'd like you to start with appreciating your great friends that live here in Washington, D.C., that don't get appreciated enough.
That's true.
But thanks. Thank you, Kathleen. We want to have you back again as soon as you can come back. And Maria will be back next weekend, and we'll try to have a guest for you. And thanks for listening, America. Of course, Kathleen, who's got the biggest fan club at BBS Radio, we let her have the last word.
All I want to say is, for this next year, we got to have people stand by D.C. and give the people the right to vote and the right for representation. So listen to this show, be involved, and fight for D.C.
Thanks, America.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their